Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, we are going to continue our sermon series, Safe to Shore. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you could turn to Mark chapter 4 again, as we're going to continue to look at this single story in the life of Jesus, where Jesus and his disciples, they decide to take a trip across the Sea of Galilee. Now, for us, taking a big, long boat ride for where we live and the part of the world that we live in, that's a big deal. It's a big deal to set off on this big boat trip. But the part of the world where they live in, where this story takes place, sailing on a boat was not that big of a deal. A little over a year ago, Yvonne and I had the opportunity to, Yvonne's my wife, and we had an opportunity to go to Italy. And while we were in Italy, one of the places we went to was the Amalfi Coast. And it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. But there was this funny dichotomy because they had like a ferry that would go from town to town. And as you went from town to town, it was fairly cheap. For them, it was like a bus because it was easier to go by boat than it was by road. But it was this funny thing because half the people on the boat were tourists. And we all had our phones out. We were all taking pictures and all excited to be there. And the other half of the people on the boat, they were just going to work. And they were kind of just irritated by all these people who were like climbing around trying to get pictures and all of these things. And they're just on their way to work. And, you know, for us, when we think about sailing on this boat, we think, wow, that's a big deal. But for them, this really wasn't that unique of a circumstance. In fact, when you read the stories in the Gospels, Jesus and his disciples sailed back and forth and back and forth across this very lake many times. And so what we see is that there's this moment where Jesus has this idea, let's go to the other side of the lake. And seemingly it's not a very unique request. It's not a very strange request. It's pretty common. But as we've delved into the story, we've discovered that this common trip didn't go so common. Now, before we jump into our text today, I just wanted to talk about one thing really quick, because I think this might matter, and it's something that I want to share with you. You, I'm sure, are aware, if you've been a part of this sermon series, that we're doing a very deep look at this. We're doing a very slow, methodical look at this story. The story that we're looking at is 7 verses total. And we're looking at 7 verses over the course of 8 weeks. That means we're not even looking at 2 verses a week by average. And so why are we going so slow? Why do we need to take up 4 weeks to look at just one story? Couldn't we do 4 stories in 4 weeks? Like, wouldn't that be more impactful if we did 4 different stories? And wouldn't that be something really neat? Why are we going so slow? And the answer for that is, as I preach through this passage, I want to model for all of us what Bible study and deep diving into the Word can look like. See, I think a lot of times when it comes to our relationship with God's Word and how we read the Bible, sometimes we can get caught up in quantity over quality. That when you search on YouVersion and you search for Bible reading programs, they're all read through the Bible in a year. Or there's some that are like, well, this plan will allow you to do it in eight months. This one will allow you to do it in 6 months. And we can get caught up in this idea of like, we need to read through the Bible quickly. That the faster we do it, the better we are. That if I can get up here as a pastor and say, I did it in 3 months, you all should be very impressed by that. But the thing that is true, at least for me, is that the more content I consume, the less meaningful it can become. That if I'm trying to read through 10, 12, 13, 14 chapters a day, it may be a very productive time, but it may not be the most rewarding time. And the goal of our Bible study can end up being to cover as much of the Bible as possible, as fast as possible. And friends, of course, don't hear me say you shouldn't read your Bible. Don't be in the Word. You know, read it as little as possible and that'll be good for you. That's not what I'm saying, or that quantity of the Bible is bad. But I think when it comes to reading our Bible, as sort of a Christian culture, we can place this priority on how much do you read, and less priority on how much are you taking away. We can place this idea of, like, you need to read more. We need to read more. But not necessarily on, well, but what did God speak to you in all that you read? And I just wanted to take a moment as a church and slow down on a passage that it's easy to read through quickly. It's only 7 verses. If you listen to the NIV audio Bible version of this story, it takes 56 seconds. From start to finish, it takes 56 seconds to read this whole story. And so we're taking 4 weeks to look at 56 seconds of Scripture. That means that we're going to be talking about this story and what it can and does speak to us about our lives, about how we understand difficult times, how we approach the storms of life, what it means to have faith, and all the things that we're talking about. And I've even had some people come and say to me as I've been going through this, hey, I saw something in there that I'd never seen before, and you didn't mention it, and this would make for a great thing to talk about. And so we could have stretched this out into 5, 6, 7 weeks. We're going to take this 56-second story, and we're going to talk about it for just over 2 hours together. Now, not today. That if this is your first Sunday at church, and you're like, what did I get myself into? He's going to talk for two. No. We got to go. In total, over the 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this 56 seconds of Scripture for a little over 2 hours. But I wanted to encourage you, and I wanted to model for you the need to make sure that we're taking our time with the Word of God. Don't get hung up on quantity. That's such an easy metric to get hung up on, that I need to read so much. People say, I got to read a chapter a day. I must have to read a chapter a day. That whatever, don't get hung up on quantity, but pursue quality. Make sure you're reading for quality, and if that may mean going a bit slower like we are, that's okay. Because friends, our Bibles are not an obstacle to be conquered. They're not a book to be defeated. They're not somehow to be able to say, I did it, I finished it. But they're the living Word of God that we're meant to be in relationship with, that we're meant to have shape us and mold us and transform us, to hear the very voice of God speaking to us. And when we just try to rip through as much as we can actually miss out on some of the most profound things that we can receive from it. But on to our part of the story for today. The last couple weeks, we've watched the disciples decide to sail across the lake, and they've ended up in this violent storm. And what we see is that despite the best efforts of our disciples, or of the disciples, the storm was beating them down, that they were doing their best to fight against the storm, and their boat was sinking. And they were, it was getting worse and worse, to the point where they're fearing of dying. And so let's read our text together, or at least review our text, starting at verse 35, Mark chapter 4, we'll say, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, that's Jesus saying to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, that's Jesus, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The disciples were in the fight of their lives. That they were doing everything they could to stay afloat and to stay alive in the dead of night, somewhere in the middle of this 10-kilometer journey across this lake. They were in this fight and they were losing. This was a heavy, scary moment for them. And really that's what we've been focused on for the first couple of weeks is what are the disciples doing? What are they doing? How should they be doing it? What should they be doing? How do we understand us through the lens of the disciples? But really up until this point, there's kind of been one person missing in our story. As the disciples are fighting and trying to stay alive, we haven't really talked about Jesus and what he's doing in this moment. The disciples are fighting and they're trying to stay alive. Their boat is sinking. They're terrified. They're anxious. They're fearful. But they've got Jesus with them. And we read in verse 38. Let's see where Jesus was. Verse 38 will say, Jesus was in the stern. So what's a stern? Oh, we got a hand. All right. The back of the boat, that's right. So the stern is the back outside of the boat. If it was the inside at the back, it would be called the aft. But the outside is called the stern. Google, Wikipedia, sailing terms. But Jesus is there. He's at the boat. He's at the back of the boat. And so we have this moment where the disciples are fearful and they're afraid and they're fighting for their lives. But it's okay because they've got Jesus with them. And Jesus, I'm sure, is fighting right alongside them. He's helping. He's bailing water out of the back of the boat. He's making promises to his disciples. Guys, don't be afraid. You've got me. Don't be afraid. I'm here with you. I'm in the midst of everything that's going on. You don't need to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. You've got me. Remember all the miracles you've seen me do. Don't be afraid that I can't do it again. It's okay. We sing the song, I'm your firm foundation. I won't fail you. It's going to be okay. Jesus is with them. They're going to be safe. Jesus is undoubtedly doing everything he can to save them. So let's read. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Amen, indeed. Not what I would have expected. Not really what I would have hoped for. And to be honest, not really what I think Jesus should be doing. In a moment where his disciples are afraid for their lives, they're dying in this boat. They're not going to make it safe to the other side. They're going to die on this lake. They cannot win this fight. They're feeling as if they're going to die. They're justified in that feeling. And where is Jesus? Where is the good shepherd? Where is the loving savior? Where is the God who knows how to give his kids good gifts? Where is the waymaker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness? Where is Jesus? He's sleeping in the boat that's sinking. In the middle of the storm, as the disciples are fighting for their lives, Jesus is sleeping. If you were with us at the beginning of this series, we began by talking about a tough question. That we had to confront this tough question as to whether or not, when Jesus told them, let's go sail across the lake, did Jesus know that the storm was coming? And we started with this difficult question that we had to wrestle with. But now we come to a point where we have another question that we have to wrestle with. Another hard question. Because this Jesus who is sleeping through the storm while the disciples are fighting for their lives, this isn't the Jesus we talk about. In fact, it pretty much makes my whole sermon last week invalid. Last week, we talked all about how you and I, we need to stop the fight. We need to stop fighting. We need to let Jesus take over. We need to let Jesus fight our fights for us. But apparently, I needed to add a caveat onto the end of that. Say, all of that's true as long as Jesus isn't asleep. Because if he is, you're just going to have to wait. That this isn't the way that we like to think about or talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus being intimately aware and how he intimately cares about the things going on in our lives more than you or I even do. We talk about the God who loves us like a perfect heavenly father would. We talk about him as the good shepherd who would give his life for the sheep. We don't talk about Jesus as the one who sleeps through our storms. And so the question we have to confront is this. What does it mean that Jesus was sleeping? What are we supposed to take away from that? I mean, there is nothing seemingly more detached and more distant and less helpful in this very moment that Jesus could be doing than what he is, sleeping. I mean, I guess technically he could be at the back of the boat, like using a bucket to bring water into the boat, and that would be less helpful. But short of that, Jesus is offering pretty much nothing. So how do we understand this? How do we reconcile that Jesus would let his disciples fight and fear for their lives in this moment while he just slept in the back? Well, before we get there, can we just recognize that this is a moment that perhaps many of us can relate to? A moment in our lives where it feels like we can't find Jesus. A moment in our lives, like it feels like maybe he's fallen asleep on us. When it feels like maybe God has lost us. And in fact, we can see that this is such a common feeling in the story of people that we actually can read about people who felt like this in the Psalms. In Psalm 44:23, the writer of the Psalm says, "Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself." It's God, wake up. Why are you sleeping? But in this moment, we see Jesus doing just that. He's asleep. He's sleeping as those around him are dying. And we see that in the midst of the struggle, in the storm, the disciples realize what Jesus is doing, that they maybe even in their minds were thinking, well, at least Jesus is helping. Jesus is helping. Like, we've got Jesus on our side. Let's just keep. And then one of them turns around and goes, guys, we've got a problem. And so as the boat is buffeted by the storm and it starts to flood with water, the disciples go to Jesus, who's asleep in the back of the boat, and they ask him a very poignant, a very honest, and a very real, and a very applicable question. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus is literally asleep as the boat is going underwater. And they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, what are you doing? Don't you care? What a horrible place to find yourself in your relationship with the Lord. Where we come to a place where we start to think, maybe God doesn't care about us. Maybe God doesn't care about me. The God who we're told we could put our faith in no matter what. The God who we were told would love us unconditionally doesn't seem to love us anymore. Doesn't seem to care about us anymore. Maybe you've had these kind of moments in your life too. Maybe where you've stared into heaven, bewildered, asking, God, where are you? Don't you care? Maybe we're like the disciples in the boat and our faith is being shaken by the fierce winds and the waves and the storms in our lives, and we too experience a crisis of faith because God doesn't seem to be present. But here's what I think we can understand about Jesus sleeping in this moment. Jesus could sleep because Jesus knew Jesus. Jesus could sleep in the boat because Jesus knew Jesus. Jesus knew that the wind and the waves weren't more powerful than him. He knew that he was the God who spoke the universe into creation. He was the God who spoke the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. He spoke those into creation. And he knew that at a word, he could speak this storm out of existence. And that's actually what we're going to look at next week, because that's going to be the conclusion of this series. But in John chapter 14, Jesus speaks to us about what the presence of God can mean in our lives. And he gives us this incredible promise. In John chapter 14, in verse 27, Jesus will say this: "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." We need to hear this. "I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." During the storm, there was no worldly peace to be found. The disciples didn't have any. How could they? They were going to die. There was no peace to be found on that boat. No matter which direction you looked, things only went from worse to worse to worse to worse. There was no place where you could say, well, at least it could be worse. No, they were dying out there on the middle of the lake. And the one place, the one hope they might have had was to look to Jesus. But when they did, Jesus was sleeping. There was no place where they could look to find hope or find security. There was no peace to be found. How could they find peace? Or maybe a better question is, how could Jesus sleep? How could he be so peaceful? And the answer is because Jesus didn't have a peace that came from his circumstances. Jesus had a peace that came from knowing he was bigger than his circumstances. Jesus tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. They are going to be caught in a storm that is so bad that they're going to die, that Jesus is the one who told them to go to. And when they need Jesus most, he's sleeping in the boat. Don't let my heart be troubled. Good luck. This is not fair. This is not. I'm going to die, and it's all your idea. Don't let your heart be troubled. But Jesus could sleep because Jesus knew Jesus. And Jesus shows us how his peace is different than peace of this world. Because his peace isn't found in the world. It's found in him. And our peace, when it's found in Jesus, it's not found in the world. The disciples lost their peace because they looked for it in the world, but Jesus had his peace because he looked for it in himself. And so maybe later on in the story, when Jesus gives them the promise in John chapter 14, maybe in a moment, all of the disciples, they flash back to this moment. And they go, Jesus is promising us a peace that's not like the world. Now I get it. Now I know why he was asleep. Now I know how he could sleep in all of that. The picture of Jesus sleeping isn't meant to show us how little Jesus cares. The picture of Jesus sleeping isn't meant to show us how Jesus responds to our crisis. The picture of Jesus sleeping in the boat, it's meant to give us a picture of the peace of God. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I've put my faith in Jesus. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. Because I've built my life on Jesus. We sang those words this morning. That maybe you sang them with your eyes closed. Maybe you sang them with your hands in the air. Maybe you sang them from like the pit of your stomach, from the overflow of your soul, that you believe this. Here is what a picture of that looks like, friends. Why are we glad we've put our faith in Jesus when everything around us is falling apart? How do we have peace that makes no sense in the midst of chaos? Because our peace isn't found in our circumstance. Our peace is found in Jesus Christ. And so when the storm comes and the storms rage and life is spiraling out of control and it's chaos and we're losing it, we can sleep in the back of the boat. Because we know that we serve a God who at a word created the universe. And we serve a God who at a word can calm the storms in our lives. But I want to close today by looking at what happens when the disciples wake Jesus up. Because I don't want to leave us in this moment of tension. Where the last part of our story that we read is the disciples saying, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? I don't feel like that's a great place to leave us this morning. So we're going to explore this a lot more next week, but this will give you a bit of a preview of what we're going to talk about next time. But the disciples, they come and they find Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat, and in their anger and their confusion and their frustration and their fear, they wake Jesus up and they say, Teacher, don't you care that we're about to die? And in verse 39, we read this. He got up. That's Jesus, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. The God who rested in the violent storm responds to the cries of his people. Yes, the storm may have left Jesus unfazed. And as weird as it is to see Jesus sleeping, friends, that's a promise for your life today. That as overwhelming and as scary and as insane as your life may seem at the moment, for God, it's no big deal. God is so much bigger than our storm. The storm may have left Jesus unfazed, but the cries of his followers didn't leave him unmoved. The storm wasn't scary for Jesus, but the cries of his followers moved his heart. Friends, I want you to know that God hears you. Even when the wind and the waves are deafening, and we think that he can't hear us over the chaos and the noise of our lives, he hears the cries of his people. And so for those of you who are gathered here today, who are watching online, and maybe you've been praying for something for a while. Maybe it only feels like a while, that you've only been praying for a couple of days or weeks, or maybe it's been months. Or maybe it's been years, or maybe it's been decades, and you've been praying and praying to God for something. And you're left wondering, does God hear me? Can God hear me? Is there something that's preventing God? Why can't God hear my prayer? Friends, brothers, and sisters, I want you to know that God hears your cry. God hears your prayer. God hears the desires of your heart. And just like in this story where Jesus speaks three little words and suddenly there's no longer a fear of death. There's suddenly no longer a cloud of darkness. But in a moment, Jesus speaks three little words and everything changed. That for you in your life, and in your situation, for the things that you've been praying for and praying for and praying for, I want you to know that Jesus hears your prayers and Jesus has the power to change everything. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful that we can come to you in the midst of the craziness of our lives, in the midst of all of the things that go on that rob us of our peace. And God, I thank you that we can come to you now and we can recognize that, God, you are so much bigger than the storms of our lives. God, even in the moments where it may feel like you're not there, in the moments where we may feel like, God, have you forgotten us? In the moments where we may feel like, God, can you still hear me? God, I thank you that we can hear you, or that you can hear us, and that you are moved by the cries of your people. God, I pray for each one here today. God, that is living in a place of chaos, that's living in a place of challenge, that is living in a place where as they look at their lives, as they look at the things they're facing, as they look at what's going on, God, maybe it's chaos in their marriage. God, maybe it's chaos in their work. God, maybe it's chaos in their family. Maybe it's chaos in their finances. Maybe it's chaos inside their own head. Whatever, wherever there's this chaos, wherever it's these storms, God, may we not look for peace in the midst of the storm, but God, may we turn our eyes to you. And God, as we look at you, as we find our peace in you, as we find this peace that comes not from how we get peace in the world, but we get peace in you, God, may we be filled with confidence. May we be filled with strength. May that anxiety, may that worry, may that fear, may that chaos, God, just as you spoke to the storm in Mark chapter 4, God, would you speak to the storms in our life now? And God, just as you spoke these three words, quiet, be still, God, we want to speak those words into our life today. God, in all the places where there's chaos, where there's storm, where there's difficulty, where there's fear, where there's worry, where there's all of these things, God, we speak these three words: quiet, be still, peace, be still. And we recognize that you have the power to bring us a peace that makes no sense, that as your word will call it, a peace that passes understanding. God, I thank you that you are bigger than our storm. You are bigger than what's going on. And God, may we, when we don't know where to find you, may the presence of God show up as a light in the darkness. God, we pray peace. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I know someone who knows what I'm up against.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu. Then, our leadership, from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power, together. As family, we go. Afraid of what's ahead.